السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: صلوا كما رأيتموني أصلي، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. Respected elders and brothers, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us this existence. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is sustaining us in this existence. Every breath we take, we are dependent on Allah. Every beat of our heart is dependent on Allah. Every moment of our life, we have to turn our focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is the purpose of our creation. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That Allah ta'ala has not created insan and jinnat but for His worship. So the purpose and the object of our life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of the most important aspects of worship after iman is salah. Salah in a life of a believer is the focal point of his life. His whole life, it revolves around salah. Whatever he does, he has to be conscious of the times of salah and that he fulfills his salah. So important is salah that we see all the other injunctions, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send them down via Jibreel. But we know for salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken on Mi'raj and he was brought right into the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he was gifted with salah. The salat is a gift. It's a tuhfa from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us. It is said of sahaba, when they heard of salah becoming farz 5 times a day, they were very happy. So salah is not a burden. Salah is not a ritual. Salah is not something that we just have to, get it done and go away and finish, I did my duty. It's more than that. Salah is our communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is to bring us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The closest a person can get to Allah is when he's in sajda, where he shows his absolute humility. You see, where he has to put this forehead, which is the most important part of his body, onto the ground and show his total humility and subservience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So salah is really the purpose of our lives. As-salatu imadu deen. Salah is the main pillar of deen. Man hadamaha, man aqamaha, faqad aqama deen. That person who upholds his salah, he has upheld his deen. Wa man hadamaha, faqad taraka deen. And that person who discards his salah, he has discarded his deen. So it's the main pillar, the supporting pillar of a person's deen is his salah. So without salah, a person is nothing. He's a failure. Failure in this world, failure in the qabr, فإلى on the day of Qiyamah. أول ما يحاسب عبد يوم القيامة الصلاة. The first thing, the first questions that we are going to have to give reckoning for on the day of Qiyamah is Salah. If our Salah is correct, we have performed our Salah in the best possible manner, our Salah is correct, we performed it, we got no qaza, فَقَدْ أَفْلَحَ وَأَنْجَى. That person has become successful and he has been saved from the punishment of Allah. On the other hand, a person who fails the test of Salah, فَقَدْ خَابَ وَخَسِرَ. He has destroyed himself, he has destroyed his life, everything is finished for him. So we cannot overemphasize the aspect of Salah. In fact, according to the Imam, that a person who discards his Salah, he's on the border of Kufr. Some of them say it's wajibul qatal, that he must be killed for discarding Salah, for neglecting Salah. فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Allah Ta'ala in the Quran also mentions that destruction be to that person. الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. That person who is neglectful of his Salah. The Hadith Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, مَنْ فَاتَتْهُ صَلَاتٌ وَاحِدًا. One Salah a person misses, كَأَنَّمَا وُتِرَ مَالُهُ وَهَلُ. It's as if his whole family, his whole, you know, everything is destroyed. How will a person feel? Now we had the floods. Many people, they just had 5 minutes, 10 minutes to get out of their homes and run for their lives. And everything was finished after that. Allah forbid we go to our homes and we find there's nothing there. What will the feeling come into our hearts? So that's the feeling a person must be having when he misses his salah or when he neglects his salah. You see, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith mentions the importance of salah, that he wishes to put somebody else to lead the salah, and then he gathers some boys and they take some firewood and they go to the homes of those people who are performing salah, but they're performing it at home. They're not coming to the masjid, and he sets fire to their homes. That's the importance of salat with jamaat. But yet they are still performing salah, but then too Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is ready to burn their homes. So how important salah is, we cannot overemphasize. So many ayats upon ayats upon ayats of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, iqam salah, aqimu salah, that establish salah. Even in our children, that muru awladikum bis salati idha kana sab'a. That when the child is 7, then from then you must command him to perform salah. He must know what is salah. And we have to lead by example. If he sees us performing salah, then he'll perform. You see. وَأَمُرْ أَهْلَكَ بِالصَّلَاةِ. In the Quran, Allah says, command your family to perform salah. وَاسْتَبِرْ عَلَيْهَا. And you also remain steadfast. So, my dear brothers, so many ayats and ahadith which emphasize salah, which is, as I said, the focal point of a life of a believer. So it's important, one, that we perform our salah, and also we check if we got any qaza salat also. Because severe punishments are for those who have neglected the salah, they don't make the qaza. One friend of mine, the other day, he was very happy. I asked him, what happened? He said, I completed my qaza salah for 25 years. He said, today I'm 75 years old. My qaza salah for 25 years, I've completed it. Alhamdulillah, I feel nice, I feel so happy, I feel light. So if a person has qaza salah, don't ignore it. Don't let it happen that we're leaving this world in this condition that we haven't performed all the qaza. It's not difficult. For every day a person misses salah, for every salah he has to read the faraz of that salah. So he has to read basically, if the whole day he missed salah, then he has to read 20 rakats. And this friend of mine, he says, every morning before Fajr, I finish my Qaza-i Umri. And for every Salah, we have to take Hisab, we have to find out, check ourselves, check in our lives, that how many Salahs have I missed? You see, so that we don't have to give accounting for our Salah on the day of Qiyamah, because then it will be too late. Salah is so important. You can't ignore it. We couldn't make it, we got up late or whatever, then make the qaza. You see. So my dear brothers, as far as Salah is concerned, Salah starts not any at the time of Salah, it starts from long before that. Before the azan goes already, our mindset and our focus must be towards Salah. So first and foremost is that we have to have taharat for Salah. It's a condition. Condition for Salah is taharat. That we must be pak. Physically, our bodies have to be pak. So we have to make sure that when we make istinja and go to the toilet, etc., that we cleanse ourselves thoroughly. At-tuhuru shatrul iman. Tahara is one of the main is part of iman. It's nisful iman, is half of iman. Tahara, a mu'min, a believer, is conscious of his tahara all the time. You see, you can't take things for granted. You have to be conscious of your taharat all the time and try and stay pak all the time. So that at istinja already, that time when he's relieving himself, already from that time, he must be focused that I have to cleanse myself properly. Make istibara after passing urine. A person must be careful that urine doesn't get stuck in his private part. He has to make istibara. He has to see that all the urine drops come out. He has to cough, he has to try, put a tissue around his private part to absorb the urine so that that urine doesn't soil his body or doesn't soil his clothes. Then when he makes ghusl, he has to make a thorough ghusl to become pak. Ya ayyuha allazeena amanu idha qumtum ila salat, when you preparing for salat, then the ayat says wa in kuntum junuban fattahharu, that if you are in a state of major impurity, then purify yourself properly. Fattaharu, emphasis. You see. So we have to know the faraiz of wuzu. We have to know the etiquettes of going to the toilet. One person asked, what's the faraiz of wuzu? Three faraiz of wuzu. He said, hot water, soap and towel. Lot of people, they don't know the faraiz of wuzu. Of ghusl, that the mouth must be gargled thoroughly, water must reach till the fleshy part of the nose, and the entire body must be washed thoroughly, not even a hair's breadth must be left dry. So when a person is making ghusl too, he has to do it consciously. It's not that I just go into the shower and I open the tap and then in a few minutes later I'm out. No, the water must reach everywhere, inside the ear, around the pinna of the ear, and under the armpits, under the knees, in between the toes. Every thoroughly wuzu must be, ghusl must be made. And likewise with wuzu also. Wuzu is miftah salati al wuzu. The key to salah is wuzu. We have to make sure that we make wuzu properly, thoroughly, especially the faraiz of wuzu. And when we sit and make wuzu too, with consciousness. You see, today we do everything mechanical, but with consciousness, this wuzu, I'm going to perform my salat. So before wuzu, the sunan of wuzu, reading Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, and whilst making wuzu, focusing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't waste water. How we make our wuzu, with what concentration and devotion make wuzu, will have impact on our salah. But wuzu is also an ibadah. So when we are washing our face to four farais, the face from the hairline to below the chin, from one earlobe to the other, this area between the sideburns and the ear, all that must be washed thoroughly. And also when we're washing our arms, including our elbows. Many a time people wash till the elbow. It's including the elbow. You see. So making sure that we wash our feet properly, including the ankles. Making massage of at least quarter of the head. So all these aspects of tahara, we have to check, we have to learn if we don't know, and we have to revise and we have to review also. So that we don't miss out. Because once the taharat is shaky, and we have a major problem in the taharat, then that salah is void. You see? And the key, salah is the key to Jannah. So when we come for our salah also, so one is the preparations, as far as taharat is concerned. Then the other thing is our clothing when we come for salah. In the ayat of the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adama, khuzu zinatakum inda kulli masjid. That beautify yourself before you come to the masjid. Hasan Basri, rahmatullah alayhi, he used to wear his best clothes when he's coming to the masjid. And obviously, we must be dressed Islamically. We're going to stand in front of the King of Kings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, if we just get some audience with the President, Prime Minister, then now we're going to go in a shabby state. We're going to go with everything, you know, upside down. No! We will wear our best clothes in the best possible manner. So likewise, with salah also, we can't wear just any tight-fitting clothes that our satr gets exposed. So many people read salah with the t-shirt. And when they're going into sajda, their whole back is open. So you can't wear tight-fitting clothes. You may wear clothes of dignity. Be Islamically dressed. Proper clothing. You see? Because we are presenting ourselves in the court of Allah. Allah is watching us whilst we are performing our salah. So we can't be haphazard in as far as our clothing is also concerned. Even our clothing must be pure, must be parked. You see. So in this way, inshallah, and our clothing too must be in such a manner that, for example, the pants mustn't be below the ankles. Not only in salah, out of salah also. You see. Last year, we were reading Taraweeh in one place. We were with our Hazrat Sheikh, Muhammad Rahman Sahib, Damat Barakatuh. So the Imam went forward to perform the Salah. And after the Salah was completed, he said, repeat the Salah. So everybody was shocked. Big majma. He said, what happened? He said, no, the Imam's kurta, it was very a long kurta, was below his ankles. He made everybody repeat the Salah. Taraweeh Salah. So how careful should we be, you see? And we shouldn't be wearing such things that got, you know, embroidery and got, we mustn't be walking billboards. People come with big Nike logos and what and come and read Salah. Now other people behind them, they're looking at this, they get distracted. So we must be wearing proper clothing, proper Islamic attire when we're coming to Salah. All this is very important in salah, and it will help us to improve on our salah. Then we should come early to the masjid. Don't wait for the last minute. Some people are LIFOs. Last in, first out. We must be philo, first in, last out. First in, come early. If you can come before the azan, alhamdulillah. Otherwise, immediately after the azan, try and be there. So we don't miss our takbir ula. Once one of our akabirin, great ulama, after the salah, he was in a very depressed state. So they asked him, what happened? He said, after 22 years, I missed my takbir ula. They were so conscious of salah, that they will want to miss their takbir ula. Person who reads this, 40 namazes with takbir-e-ula. Obviously it will be with jamaat, then he's given a certificate of freedom from nifaq, that he doesn't have hypocrisy in his heart. So we should try to the best of our ability. Don't wait for the last minute and then rush. Before we come to salah, we have to condition our mind. And this helps in bringing concentration into our salah. Conditioning our minds. That where am I going? What am I going to do? I'm going to perform salah in front of Allah, who is going to be watching me, listening to me. He's going to be with me. I'm doing this for Him. So condition your mind. So long before salah, this mind must be conditioned. And the sunnah salah before the salah is also to help us to bring concentration in our salah. Because once we in the salah, then our mind must be focused to salah. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Allah Ta'ala says, successful are those believers, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those that are in their salah, with concentration, with devotion, with complete focus towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their salah. Otherwise, that salah is just a sham. It's just an outward movement because the mind is gone somewhere else. And shaitan beats us with this, you see. Say the first thing that will be taken away from this ummah will be that khushu and khudu in salah. So we have to learn and condition ourselves and train ourselves from beforehand that what we are going to do and how we are going to do it in the best possible manner. Then inshallah this salah will take us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this salah will be a source of benefit for us. Otherwise, if a person just performs his salah however he wants, in whichever manner he wants, then it is said that salah rises up in a form of a dirty rag, and it is flung back on his face, this person's face, and he said, ضَيَّعَكَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you as you have destroyed me. So a person gets the curse of that salah if he's not reading it properly. And on the other hand, person is reading his salah properly, concentration, devotion, focus towards Allah, then that salat makes dua for him, that may Allah preserve you as you have preserved me. You see, it takes a form of a beautiful cloth, and it makes dua for that person. So in this way, inshallah, we'll perform our salat properly, and you know, with itminan, with composure, not hurrying, not rushing, in a nice way, then inshallah, we will find that sweetness in salah, we'll find that enjoyment in salah. Then we'll want to, like sahaba, all night they used to sit, all night they could read salah. Why? Because their minds was focused in salah. Sometimes things happened around them, there was a fire around them, the wall fell down, they didn't even know, they were unconscious of all these things right there. Today, even if a fly sits on our head, that too is too much for us. You see people performing salah, every few minutes they're scratching here, scratching there, this, that. What does that show? That shows we're not focused in salah. We have to be standing still. Sahaba used to stand so still in the salah, that the birds, you think that they are statues and they should come perch on them, they should come and sit on them. So in salah, a person has to be absolutely still. He has to be composed. He hasn't make no unnecessary movements, because if he makes major movements, amal kathir, then that salah is void. If he moves his chest away from the qibla, finish, that salah is void. You see, you'll have to repeat that salah. So every action and every posture in salah too must be done as best as possible. And it's not difficult. It's not difficult to get concentration on salah. It's simple. All we have to do is just concentrate on what we are doing. You see, a person is making takbir at-tahrima, now he's concentrating, I'm making takbir at-tahrima. I mean, I'm reading qiraat, then he's concentrating on his qiraat. You see, and even his qiraat, he must be reading properly with tajweed. Person can't read Quran anyhow, especially pronouncing the letters must be done correctly. the ha, the dha, the fa, all the letters must be. We have to learn tajweed, my dear brothers. If you haven't learned in madrasa, learn now. It's never too late. And try and read your surahs with tajweed. You'll see automatically concentration will come in your salah because you're doing it consciously. And even when we're making the reading the tasbihat, then to ponder over the meaning. Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. Glory be to Allah, the great. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Glory be to Allah, the most high. So learn the simple meanings. The last 10 surahs or 20 surahs, whatever we're reading, learn the meaning so we can concentrate. So all this will help us, inshallah, in improving our salah. And in our endeavor should be that we get 100 out of 100 for our salah whenever we perform our salah. So as far as the practical aspect of salah is concerned, it is simple, inshallah, not very difficult. We'll go through them now. As I said, when we beginning our salah, if we can just move back so the other brothers can also see. So we will, when we start our salah, we start with takbirat tahrima, which is faraz. So we have to read and say the words of takbirat tahrima. Even if you're behind the imam too, we have to say Allahu Akbar loud enough to hear ourselves. Otherwise we haven't started the salah. So whilst we're saying takbirat tahrima, we lift our hands up to our ears. We lift our hands up to our ears. By the way, this is the Hanafi method of salah. And this is the method that has been taught to us by our Sheikh, Hazrat Mawlana Fazlur Rahman Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum. And he has elaborated in his books also. The other Mazahib, they'll have some other few differences. But if you're Hanafi, then this is the method. So we'll raise our hands to our ears. Right? Palms must face the Qibla. Fingers will be kept normal. We won't close our fingers, we won't open our fingers, we'll keep it normal, in line with our ears. We don't have to hold our ears, but just in line with our ears. Not like this. Many people, when they're reading the salah, their hands are facing the cheeks, the palms are facing the cheeks. That is incorrect. The palms must be facing the Qibla. Everything of ours must be facing the Qibla. So even our feet must be facing Qibla. And there must be a gap of 4 fingers between our feet. This will help us when we are in sajda also, because then our heels have to touch. So we don't perform salah like this. Perform our salah with our feet facing the Qibla. And then we are reading salah with jamaat, then make sure that our heels are on the line. So a person will stand like this. And the head mustn't be bowed in salah. Head mustn't be bowed. The head must be upright. Only the eyes must be looking at the place of sajda. So you don't have to bow your head to look at the place of sajda. Head must be upright all the time in salah. So keep your head upright. Raise your hands to your ears. Palms facing the Qibla. Fingers normal. And you say, as you're saying Allahu Akbar, you fold your hands. It's not Allahu Akbar and then you fold. From here, Allahu Akbar, the little finger and the thumb goes around the wrist, and these 3 fingers on top of the wrist and below the navel. Below the navel, we fold our hands and we stand like this. And then we will recite Sana, we'll recite Ta'awuz Tasmiyah, A'udhu Bismillah, Surah Fatiha, Bismillah, and then Surah. Right? So in this way, inshallah, this is the standing Qiyam posture. So with full concentration, devotion, and focusing the eyes in salah, it helps tremendously in concentrating in salah. In fact, our Ustad, Abdul Hamid Sahab, Damat Barakatuhum, he said, if we learn to control our eyes in salah, then we learn to control our eyes outside salah. We don't look at haram outside salah. Say one man, he was contemplating getting a second wife. So he couldn't control his eyes. looking around, غير محرم woman. So Mu'adh told him, just concentrate in your salah and focus your eyes properly. So he said he started doing it, and alhamdulillah that feeling of getting another wife left him. And he said, when I should go out, I shouldn't be looking around. So in salah, we should look at the, in qiyam, we should look at the place of our sajda. So that is how we will stand with itminan, with complete concentration, devotion, focus, attention towards Allah. And in every rukun of salah, at least for a few moments, try and think like this, that Allahu ma'i, Allahu nadhiri ilayya, Allah is looking at me, Allah is watching me. At this moment, I'm standing in front of Allah, Allah is watching me. Allahu sami'i, Allah is listening to what I'm reading. Allah is listening to it. You know, like person, CCTV camera is focused on you, the boss is watching. Now, how are you going to do? You know, just do things happen. No, I'm being watched. So at least have this consciousness that Allah is watching me and I am being watched. You see? So reading the salah in that way, inshallah, with our mind towards Allah, Allahu ma'i, Allah mere saath hai. I'm in front of Allah. Allah is with me. Allah is watching me. Allah is listening to me. And contemplate on the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sometimes we're standing behind the imam. Imam is a silent salah. So we can't concentrate. So contemplate on the greatness of Allah. Contemplate on akhirah. Contemplate on maut. It says when a person performs salah, he should perform it like this is his last salah. After this, you're going to die. There's no other time you're going to get to perform salah. Salah salatu muwadda'in. That is my farewell salah. So how will we perform salah then? See, so this all helps in bringing that consciousness. You see, we read salah unconsciously. We need consciousness. And we need the consciousness of Allah in our salah. So in that way we will stand in qiyam with complete concentration, devotion, attention and focus. Then we'll say Allahu Akbar. And when we're reading this takbirat, from the time we make start the movement till the end, the takbir must last. So Allahu Akbar. In ruku to simple, there's two things that we have to remember. One is that the arms, the elbows must lock. And here the knees must lock. So you're not going to go like this. So once you go like this, this will go off, this will go off. So it must be a full 90 degree angle. Right? And the back and head must be in line. And then with full attention say, Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. And not Subhana Rabbiyal Azeem. Za and Za makes a big difference in the meaning. Arabic is a very sensitive language. You just change the makharij of the word, like qalb is heart and qalb is dog. One is qaf and one is kaf. Now you say, Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana, with a kaf, that oh Allah, don't turn our dogs away. Big change in the meaning. You see, Rahim with a big ha, and Rahim. It's a big difference in a big ha and a small ha. So we need to learn tajweed. MashaAllah, those who are in itikaf, previously when we, Allah gave us tawfiq, we sat in itikaf every day after the zohr, we should have practicals. Wudu, ghusl, salah, and we should also do surahs. So whilst we are in itikaf, let us bring this alive and let us also learn. Get the ulama around us and get them to teach us, inshallah. At least, I remember that one year we sat, the person didn't even know Surah Fatiha and is reading salah. He's 70 years old. He doesn't know Surah Fatiha. What kind of salah is that? So get to know our surahs and get to be able to read them correctly. So in ruku, you will be with composure. You see that Maulana was saying that that person, he came to read salah and then he started walking out and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, irji' fasalli fa innaka lam tusalli. Go back and perform your salah. You haven't performed your salah. So he went back, he performed it, then he coming out again, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, go back again. Like that, three times he sent him back.
Third time he came, he said, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I tried, I did my best. What was the problem? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, you see, when you perform your salah, then perform it with composure, with itminan. You see, because that is wajib in salah. When you go into ruku, don't just waram and then up again. You go into sajdah, waram up again. No. He said, that was the problem of your salah. That was the problem of your salah, that you didn't have itminan. So a person after ruku will stand up in qawma. And here too, this is where major problem most of us, we just sami Allahu liman hamidah, rabbana lakal hamd, and we're running down again. No. Sami Allahu liman hamidah, it is wajib at least to stand for that 1 second. Our Shaykh Hazrat Mu'afaz Rahman Sahib, Dawan Barakatuh, is emphasizing on this. I don't think there's any bayan, I haven't heard him saying this. That when you're in coma, then read the full hamd. Rabbana lakal hamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Don't just say Rabbana lakal hamd. Because in that pause, what you see in ruku and sajda, we're reading the tasbihat. So that pause is there. But in coma, when we get here, Sami Allahu liman hamida, we'll read as we're coming up. And Rabbana lakal hamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Once Abi read this, and when he read this, then after the salah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who was that sahabi who read that? So the sahabi said, I read it. He said, I saw more than 30 malaika rushing to take the reward for that what you read. There's also other du'as. Rabbana lakal hamdu mil as-samawati wa mil al-ardi wa mil ama baynahuma wa mil ama shi'ta min shayin ba'd. You can learn that du'a also and learn the meanings also, so that we're reading consciously. But in coma we have to read this so that itminan comes into our salah, because otherwise it will be just going up and down. Then after that, from coma we'll be going into sajda. So when we're going to sajda, we will don't go like this. That's like we're making a second ruku now. But we will go by bending the knees first. So you bend your knees must touch the ground. This upper part of the body must remain straight. We don't go like this, but upper part of the body remains straight and you go down. So your knees will touch first. Then your hands, then your nose and forehead. And when you are in sajda, then you will close your fingers. Your fingers will come in line with your ears. In line with your ears and close your fingers. Elbows must not touch the ground. Elbows must not touch the ground. Elbows must be up. And we should make sajda brazenly open. So even if a baby goat has to come under us, then it must be able to go through. A woman have to make their sajda different. But men, we have to make sajda openly, brazen. And then our feet, in sajda, we should keep the heels together. Toes must be pressed facing towards the qibla. So in line with the ears, our feet must be, also the toes must be bent and the heels should be touching. So that is the method of sajda. And then in sajda too, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la, again with full concentration, devotion, reading it, that glory be to my Lord, the Most High. You see, so by reading this consciously, and thinking that now I'm actually in the lap of my Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the closest I can get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will make sajda in that way. And then we'll get up for jalsa. This is another point where we find many of us fail. But when this is Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No, we come back, come into the posture of jalsa and pause. And that's our Sheikh has taught us a dua, Allahumma firli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzukni. Five beautiful duas. You see, the whole of salat is dua actually. Salat means dua. So this is where we're going to take from Allah. Allahumma firli, O Allah, forgive me. Warhamni, have mercy on me. Wa'afini, and grant me afiyat, grant me safety from all calamities and difficulties. Wahdini, and guide me. Allahumma firli, warhamni, wa'afini, wahdini, warzukni, and give me sustenance also. Through salah, we can draw our sustenance from Allah. We can get barakat in our rozi. That is when we read the salah consciously, with concentration, devotion, and we read all these duas. These five duas, if we got the whole of dunya and akhirat, my dear. Simple duas. It won't even take you 5 seconds to read it. Maybe 3 seconds to read it. So learn these duas and read it in our salah. We'll see the difference. And then we'll go for the next sajda. And when we are sitting in qaada, then we'll sit on the left foot and we'll keep this right foot upright. Right? And the toes will also be pointing towards the qibla. Then also our hands will be on our thighs, and our fingers will be kept normal. And in ruku, we will look at our feet. In ruku, we will look at our feet. In sajda, we will look at our nose. Our eyes will be focused to the nose. And when we're in qada, we will be looking at our chest, lower chest and lap. So we'll be sitting like this, and we'll be focusing there into our lap. And then we'll read the At-Tahiyyat. And that to At-Tahiyyat, big ha. Not At-Tahiyyat. No, At-Tahiyyat lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibatu. As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're making salami in salam, I guess. So, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyu wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As-salamu alayna. وَعَلَىٰ عِبَادِ اللَّهِ الصَّالِحِينَ. So learn the meaning, it's simple, it's very easy. You see, and then when you're saying أَشْهَدُ, when you come to أَشْهَدُ, then we will make a circle with the thumb and the middle finger. Right? And we say Allah, then we lift up the shahadat finger. Our Sheikh says, when you're lifting up this shahadat finger, think that you are shooting shaitan. You are destroying shaitan. Illa Allah, we'll drop it and we'll keep it like this right till the end. So in this way, inshallah, this is the way we will. And you don't have to move the, some mazhabs have, they move the finger, but we will just keep it like that in the Hanafi mazhab. And then we'll read Durood Ibrahim. And after that, we'll do the dua masura, Allahumma inni zalamtu nafsi, till the end. And then when it comes to salam, and assalamu alaikum. Even in this posture, you don't have to keep the head down. Head must be upright. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Make the niyat of salam of the people next to you. And the malaika. See, our cheeks must be able to see by the people behind us. And then assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We don't start the next salam from here. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. From here, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. And eyes on the shoulder. So in this way, inshallah, read our salah consciously, with concentration, devotion, focus, attention. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make dua, Allah accept our salah. And Allah help us to improve our salah. Then we make in dua also. Our hands, these are our begging bowls, as Azma Yunus Patel sahab, rahmatullah alayhi, used to say. So a slight gap between the hands and the palms open facing towards the qibla in line with, facing towards the sky. In dua, the qibla of the hands is the sky. We keep it like this and then we make dua. That Allah must accept our salah. In that way, inshallah, this is a way of performing our salah according to the sunnah as we have been taught, inshallah. So try and bring this into our salah, all that was mentioned, inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for me first, and all of us, so that we can improve our salah. Every salah must be an improvement on the previous salah. Yes.
Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka.